From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. Our text for this morning is in 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 23. These were potters, and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work. Potters were not the very highest grade of workers, but the king needed potters, and therefore they were in royal service, although the material upon which they worked was nothing but clay. We too may be engaged in the most menial part of the Lord's work, but it is a great privilege to do anything for the king, and therefore we will abide in our calling, hoping that, although we have lain among the pots, yet we shall be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. The text tells us of those who have dwelt among plants and hedges, having rough, rustic hedging and ditching work to do. They may have desired to live in the city amid its life, society, and refinement, but they kept their appointed places, for they also were doing the king's work. The place of our habitation is fixed, and we are not to remove from it out of whim and caprice, but seek to serve the Lord in it, by being a blessing to those among whom we reside. These potters and gardeners had royal company, for they dwelt with the king, and although among hedges and plants, they dwelt with the king there. No lawful place or gracious occupation, however mean, can debar us from communion with our divine Lord. In visiting hovels, swarming lodging houses, workhouses, or jails, we may go with the king. In all works of faith, we may count upon Jesus' fellowship. It is when we are in his work that we may reckon upon his smile. Ye unknown workers who are occupied for your Lord amid the dirt and wretchedness of the lowest of the low, be of good cheer, for jewels have been found upon dunghills ere now. Earthen pots have been filled with heavenly treasure, and ill weeds have been transformed into precious flowers. Dwell with the king for his work, and when he writes his chronicles, your name shall be recorded.
These days are drawing close to an end. God has been working on you, my dear friend. Your heart has been tender, though others so cold. For you who are hungry, a message we journey, you must have faced, champion.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, "Wonderful Redemption." The text is chapter 1, verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Dr. Cairns emphasized that the theme of redemption is what ties the entire biblical revelation together. As recorded in the Old Testament, redemption involved a recovery either of property or of persons by the expenditure of effort and/or a redemption price. Although Adam was created perfectly righteous in every way, his deliberate choice to rebel against God's command corrupted the bias of his will and plunged the entire human race into the bondage of sin. Only a divine remedy could reverse this catastrophe, and it was found in the sacrificial work of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Dr. Cairns comes to the elements of redemption. The first of these is freedom. Christ has delivered us from the slavery of sin and has brought us under his kingship. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
By his fall, he lost his holiness, and the bias of human nature is now selfish, not Godward. It is sinful, not holy. He replaced a holy bias with a wicked, evil, sinful bias, so deeply ingrained in human nature that short of the miracle of regeneration, no man can will to do spiritual good that is pleasing to God. And of course, his understanding was darkened. And you have man the fool who can say there is no God, or live like there's no God, who can look at the heavens and shrug his shoulders. Though they declare the glory of God, he sees nothing of it. Though God is revealed in every speck of his creation, they have no knowledge of him. What a lost inheritance. Slaves who have forfeited everything. But Christ is the Redeemer. And in his redemption, he recovered the slaves. But he also recovered what they had lost in Adam. Now we stand as believers righteous. I want you to understand this. Believers are not in the process of becoming righteous. That is popery and devilish heresy. Believers are not in the process of becoming righteous. Believers are righteous, accepted in Christ, clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. You can't have better righteousness than Christ. You can't have more righteousness than Christ. You can't add to the righteousness of Christ. And thank God you can't detract from the righteousness of Christ. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is the Lord, our righteousness. So we have righteousness. In Christ we have a perfect holiness. But beyond that, in Christ, we now have the restoration, even though we're still in the flesh, of an ability to choose God. There is in this, in the believer, the restoration of that holy bias of will. All the flesh, as we'll see before we're through today, has not yet entered into the benefits of redemption in anything like fullness. And therefore there is a battle with the flesh. But nonetheless, every Christian has been given a restoration of holiness. And there's a knowledge. What is it to have eternal life? John 17, verse 3 says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee." The very fundamental truth in having eternal life is to know God, to know Him as our Creator, as our Redeemer, as our Father, as our Savior in Christ. Bless God, these are the truths that this term redemption carries to us. This is the essence of redemption. Now, from that, we can isolate, and I think if I will quickly list these, I will finish there and pick them up again tonight, or go on from them tonight. But the elements in redemption. From what we have seen, there are four elements in redemption. I have touched on one of them, though I have not expounded it deliberately. But let me give you the four elements in this word redemption, in this term redemption, and we will pick them up a little without going too deeply or too long into them. The first one is freedom. The second one is forgiveness. The third idea is that of fullness. And the final one is the idea of our future. All in the word redemption. Now let's think of the freedom. I've said that Christ came into the slave market, made the purchase, and purchased us out of the slave market of sin. He brought us out. That's freedom. As I said last week in the idea of deliverance in verse 13 in Colossians chapter 1, there's the idea of not only a recovery, but a removal. He's rescuing us right out of the slavery of sin. He's brought us into freedom. I want you to think of this. When we read last week that He has delivered us from the power of darkness, He has transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son. My friend, that is freedom for the people of God. Surely we have got to understand this. What are we free from? We're free from guilt. Now let's get this clear in our minds. We now, as believers in Jesus Christ, stand liberated from all the guilt of all our sin. That's what the hymn writer had in mind. I think it was Spofford wrote the hymn, and he said, "My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." He was simply meditating on the words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 2. When he says that he took that which was contrary to us and he nailed it to the cross. And I think there he's dealing specifically with the law as it called for our condemnation. Men and women, understand this. We're free from guilt. What is guilt? Without getting into, there are a few little Latin phrases that are used in theology books to define the various nuances in the term guilt. We'll not get into those this morning. But guilt, fundamentally, is liability, a just liability to the wrath of God because of the ill deserts of our sin. And that's gone. We were singing this morning, Jesus paid it all. Our liability to the wrath of God is gone forever, covered by the blood of Christ's atonement. We're free from guilt. Therefore, from the curse, doesn't Paul write to the Galatians that he hath redeemed us from the curse of the law? What is that curse? The curse of the law is the law hanging over us as a condition of life, a condition of salvation. The law hanging over us saying, you must meet my standard if you're going to get to heaven. The curse of the law is making the law to fallen men a covenant of life, a covenant whereby they can get to heaven. We're delivered from that. As J. Gresham Machen once pointed out, the essence of Christian liberty is the liberty of, or freedom from, having to fulfill the law to get to heaven. Because Christ has fulfilled the law for us. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. What a blessing that is. The law is satisfied, and I am justified by faith in Jesus, delivered from the guilt and the curse, and therefore the condemnation. Is there a sweeter verse in all the Bible than Romans 8 verse 1? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. Now the devil hates that verse. That's why he comes to you every day to condemn you. Every false gospeler hates that verse. That's why they always trade in gospels, falsely so-called, of condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. None. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to the woman they brought before him, hoping he would condemn her to death? Neither do I condemn thee. If you're a believer in Christ today, just take your stand before God and hear from the right hand of God the voice of him that sitteth upon the throne. Hell roars in your ears. Satan hisses out his hatred. Reminds you of your own personal ill desert. But here's the voice of many waters. Neither do I condemn thee. That's freedom. Goes even further than that. We're free from the dominion of sin. Now, immediately that gets some people thinking, well, if that were true, would I not be sinless? Now understand what the Bible's saying. I'm not going to go over Romans 6 again. I spent quite a time in Romans 6 not too long ago. So if you want to get the full idea that I'm developing here, you'll just have to go and get the tapes. But starting in Romans 5, toward the end of the chapter. Well, if you start at chapter 5, verse 12, and go right. Let me just back up for a minute. Most people get into trouble understanding Romans 6 because they isolate it from its context. If you go back to Romans 5, verse 12, and work right through, you'll see the context. And the idea here is very clear. We were in the realm of that monarch called sin. That was our position in Adam. But now we're in Christ, and we're taken out of the realm of that monarch called sin, and we're put under the rule and the realm of the monarch called Christ, or personified grace.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.